out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system at radioarian.com.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday the 9th of October 2019 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, broadcasting at radioarian.com. Well, we are halfway through the week and I'm very pleased to say that we have with us revisionist historian Carolyn Yeager from carolynyeager.net. Carolyn, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing very well, Sven.
Excellent.
Thank you.
Yeah. That is good to hear. I've been reading some really interesting stuff on your site recently to do with the scorebooks for the Adolf Hitler Youth, and I'm hoping we're going to talk about that today. But I also believe that you got some updates on the Freedom Party in Austria. Shall we begin with that?
Yes, let's do that. It just take a couple of minutes. I just noticed yesterday, I think it was. I mean, it was the most recent thing. On Norbert Hofer's Facebook page, you know, the Austrians and the Germans use Facebook. They have from early on, these politicians, to get, you know, to put their message out. Kind of like Trump uses Twitter. Trump came along somewhat later, but he likes Twitter. Of course, that's easier to use with the news. I don't know if they have Twitter over there, but anyway, they're all big on Facebook, and those are the pages I go to. And so Hofer has said that, I'm just going to pick out the key words here, there are some published media reports that the Social Democrat Party in Austria and the People's Party Youth, the Young People's Party, you know, they all have their youth attached groups that run themselves, but they are part of the larger party, but they don't, you know, they have kind of certain amount of independence. And they've been in the news to some degree about this Ibiza scandal video that brought down the Austrian government, Kurz and Strache, who was vice chancellor and is still affecting everything. So Norbert Hofer says that the accusations, is what he called it, appeared over the weekend about the alleged masterminds and backers of the Ibiza video, and says they are more than harmless accusations. Quote, with the media reports now published, SPU and Jung UVP are suddenly also affected, although both were always denied to have anything to do with the scandalous video. I therefore call on both parties to take a stand on the media reports. Well, he's just saying you say something about it, you know? See, they won't talk about it. Nobody talks about it. And even the media doesn't really want to make anything out of it. Now, I don't know if there's much to it, but this is the broadcaster, television, Austria 24, has said that a Social Democrat politician is said to have played a central role in the production of the Ibiza video alongside the already well-known lawyer M. They never, you know, over there, Austria, like Germany, they use initials. They don't give the names of people who've been accused of crimes publicly, because being accused of a crime is more serious there than it is in the United States, because they don't have the protections. They don't have you're innocent until you're proven guilty. What they have is that you're you're guilty and you have to prove yourself innocent sort of thing, which I think is pretty terrible. I wouldn't, that's one thing I don't agree with Europe on and with Germany on, but that's the way it's always been there. So they protect their identity and all that. And, according to the reports, a house search has already taken place, at this politician's home. That would be the, Social Democrat politician. And another friend, also a Social Democrat member, and his partner from the environment of the Boys, People's Party. That means the young men's, young, I guess, I don't know if they're all men, if they're all male or what, but, so this investigation has started. What's being investigated is that somehow they placed a bet on the end of the coalition of 18 May. They placed a bet on when the coalition would fall apart. And, this is all translated, automatic translation. And it's really, sometimes it's really terrible. Can't hardly make any sense out of it. And it said that, somebody stopped the bet and informed the authorities, somebody who learned about it. And so Hofer says, quote, "It is certainly no coincidence, of course, that the Austrians were only allowed to hear about these shocking incidents the week after the election," unquote. That was, you know, they covered this up until after the election was over. So this doesn't make his party very happy. They weren't able to use this information before the election. And so this is so there just to show that whether anything comes of this or whether they are so in control that they can stop it, which is the way it is over there with the media and the left, nothing much comes out about it, or if maybe there's not much to it. But anyway, they are paying attention. They are keeping up with it, even no matter what the outcome will be. And that's good. That's good, right?
Yeah, it sounds like there's two issues there. If you've got the SBO that were involved in getting the Ibizagate scandal into the newspapers anyway, were involved in that. Well, that, you know, that was a deliberate setup. So they were mm-hmm. involved in that. It's not, you know, they weren't releasing that for the good of the public. And also, is it the same person that was involved in it was placing bets when the government?
No, it was a friend of this person.
Right.
Who's also an SPO member, not a higher up in there or anything, just a member of the party. And his partner, now here's the thing, they're both hims. I studied this, and of course, sometimes the pronouns like that get confused easily. So maybe this could be wrong. They could not be saying that they're both, but I think so. They're both hymns, and then it sounds like they had some kind of special. Oh, I don't know where I got that idea. I can't find it right now, but that they, you know, anyway, partner. They call it his partner. That's it. You know, one guy and his partner, another guy from a different party, the youth party, a young partner, you know, are said dodgy. To have started.
Sounds very dodgy, doesn't it?
Have started things with a bet. The bet they made, something that has something to do with Spanish, in Spain or something, that this this coalition would end by May 18th. You know, you can bet on everything, I guess. You know, they've got these places where you bet on all these political things. So this is all that's said there. So this is the best I can make of it. I don't want to make more of it than it is.
They're trying to make a financial advantage out of it, aren't they?
Placing a bet. Yeah, somebody was saying we know what's going on here, and we think this, or I don't know. But of course, then again, you can say that the Freedom Party or the heads, they're trying to make as much out of it as they can too. And I doubt it's going to go anywhere. I really don't think so. But they're, to me, what's encouraging is that they're not just, they don't give up. They don't say, well, you know, we really lost big here and we can't do anything. They're doing, they're following through on everything they can and doing their job, you know.
Well, it's good to hear they've got the a youth division as well. I did hear that they'd actually put a lot of money into them.
Yeah.
Yeah, or the AFD and putting money into this youth division. And it's quite clear from the articles that you've been doing with these school books for the Hitler Youth that, you know, they really invested a lot in their youth and in the education materials and what they were teaching them. They saw the youth as being of the highest value to them. More valuable than money, which is the opposite way to the way everything's just looked at as an economical unit now. I mean, the youth, the German youth, that was what everything was about in National Socialism. And I think that becomes really clear from looking at those school books, Carolyn.
Let me say they're not really school books. This is one book. It's a handbook. It was called A Handbook for Schooling the Hitler Youth. It was what was used in Hitler Youth groups. Obviously, I think this was not the only one they ever had. They may have had, you know, a few different ones or different editions or something, but, this is one that must have been a major one. And I don't have the exact copyright date, but it was run after the mid 30s, still, you know, maybe 37. Something like that is put out, or 36 maybe, because of the dates that are used in it. But this was what was studied in the Hitler Youth groups for the older kids, because it's not easy. You know, I mean, it's pretty challenging all the way through. And it gets, I've got maybe five chapters more to go, and this latest one is chapter 8. So it gets more technical and about German imports, exports, all kinds of stuff that I'll probably won't go into in too much detail. I think the early parts are always the most interesting for us, for general information. And so, yeah, the most popular one that I've posted is chapter 2, which is the German races. And I had the most comments about that. Of course, it's interesting to us because it shows different German types as they saw it then. And they try to dismiss that now and since, you know, that, of course, that's no such thing as race. And so they don't like that the Germans, and not only the Germans, but a lot of them, they use the word race for much smaller groups of people than just the three main races, which doesn't tell you very much, you know. So that is interesting to people. And then I think another one that was especially, people thought was especially interesting, was chapter 5, which is population policy. And I titled it on my site, Marriages, Births, and Deaths, National Socialist Population Policy Explained. And it's just a really interesting one. It got a little more than the normal amount of comments too, but people who did comment on it really liked it. And this one probably more than any other one gives the idea of what the Third Reich National Socialists were teaching. What they thought was important, and this is about, you know, how they viewed marriage, family, and their population, and their need to increase their population, and why, and it's so for people like us, it's just so good. You think, oh, if we could only be teaching our people this in this way. Now, you know, there's just nothing offensive about it unless you hate Germans and hate anything that's national, it's pride in your own nation. And, you know, which is what's going on today. You're not supposed to have that. It's supposed to be everybody, you know, include everybody and everything. And So that's all I have to say about that right moment.
Well, the only way you're going to turn out good people that try to be the best that they can be is if they have some pride in their nation. You have to tell them the good things that the people in their nation have done in the past, so they know what they have to measure themselves against. If you just tell them that the people of the past were terrible people and they were colonialists and they were slave owners, then the people of today have got nothing to measure themselves against. They've got nothing there that is saying, look, you can be like this. They're just told, well, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be like my ancestors. And they just become materialist, and they just get bogged down in the television and the fantasy world instead of going out there and trying to achieve something. I mean, I've been looking at the two most recent ones, and that seems to be talking about the history of the Germans. They're saying, like, this is who you are. Going back 2,000 years, 3,000 years, this is where we come from. And rather than just talking about the lands that were a part of Germany, it's saying, and these people here that speak German, they're Germanic people as well. And it's talking about what they brought to those countries and the Slavs coming in later and benefiting from it. And it all helps to give someone an idea of who they are and what their identity is. And all of that is missing from today's schooling, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. In fact, it's not only missing, it's absolutely not allowed. So this is what you just said there. You're just right. This is just the difference between then and now. And this and the then, what they were doing is portrayed now as somehow evil. I mean, even evil, because, oh, it leads to hate and genocide and so on of other peoples. It's not the case at all. In fact, they point out how they benefit other people. Now, maybe these other peoples don't all think that. I agree with that. They want to do it their way, and they don't want to be benefited by Germans, by a lot of Germans around. But at the time that this stuff started, these movements started, they wanted the people there because they were benefiting. They were developing the land. They were bringing in education and knowledge and stuff that those people didn't have. And their rulers were even inviting Germans in so many cases. That's how my ancestors got to Hungary. They were invited to come there and develop that area. And that's how they got my one grandfather got to the United States. He and where in the German population in Hungary where he was living was invited to come, this community that they had there, as many of them as would come by the railroad company and a big railroad company in the United States, because they wanted a workmen, and they knew these were good working people. They knew what were good quality people, you know, and they wanted them, and they invited them, and they sponsored them. And so that's where he started with this same German community that a lot of them went there and went to, where I was where they settled in Illinois, and they were all together there too. And so, they had a nice little German community there, and they had a job, and then they could, after a while, like, some of them, like my grandfather, moved on to better things. But, through hard work. I mean, this is not a bad thing and at all, as it's portrayed. So these articles, unless you're so anti-German, you can't stand to read them, you know, or so anti-National Socialist and Adolf Hitler that you can't stand to read them, are very instructive in teaching what was really going on and how we should look at our history, and not in this way that we're being forced on us now, that we were slavers, we were this, we were genociders, we invaded and attacked other people and took away all their rights, and we didn't do that. We never did that. Well, some people tried to do that sometimes, but the Germans mostly didn't do that.
Nothing about rights there. It's duties. You know, it's your duty to, mm-hmm. to be the best that you can be. It's your duty to do what you can for your nation because you've got this grand history before you. And I was interested to see that it was saying that that Germany was originally under the ice sheet at the end of the ice age, and then the Nordic peoples pushed north as the ice retreated about 3,000 years back. And this sort of contrasts to what we're being told today. Oh, mankind came about, I don't know, 50 million years ago and came out of Africa and we were all one race. There's none of that in there. It's just saying about how the land was tamed, basically, by these Nordic farmers. And they made their way into the interior and built up civilization, basically. And also how Germany was central where it was in Europe. So a lot of trade used to pass through there. So they would pick up on the best of everything and became the center of culture. Again, it's something which people are just not taught today. And why it was such a shame to be destroying so much of Germany when it had been the center of the culture of Europe for about 1,000 years. And that comes across as, you know, how that came about, how Germany became the center of culture. And you think, you know, this is all being taught to, what, 14-year-olds, 15-year-olds?
Yeah, probably 14 to 18, something like that, you know. It just points out the education problem we have now, that we don't teach anything. You have to go to college. Now, you almost have to go to graduate school nowadays to get any you know, really in-depth education in anything, whereas they used to do it in high school. It used to be if you got a high school diploma, you were set, you know, for living your life. Well, you're just like a kindergartner now. You're absolutely undisciplined, nothing. Well, of course, depends on the people. Some are, but listen, I was 5 years in the schools, in this U.S. school system. This was in the South, so in the Hispanic areas, so it's just pretty terrible what they get by with. So yeah, this is just to compare how they were taught and the responsibility, and it's always responsibility is emphasized. You know, leadership. These were the future leaders. That's why they put so much attention on them and in these, not only the Hitler Youth, but in the Hitler schools and National Socialist schools that the party created. There was a difference between the party and the state, and the party had some special schools that people that they would select, you know, talented students to come to, and these were the future leaders, and it was always, like you said, duty. And it was there, it was always showing responsibility and intelligence and leadership qualities. And that demanded a lot. You know, I got to know the Wenger, well, Willy Wenger, and he had all this information and all these writings by his brother, Leopold, who was about 5 or 6 years older than him, who had been was a hero in the war, a pilot, highly decorated pilot in World War II, reading his brother's letters and diary and all this stuff, you know, that from back then, all that they had to learn and know. And what he did in the Hitler Youth, he was a leader in the Hitler Youth when he was still at home in high school. And he had a lot of responsibility. They were very serious about it, you know, and they had their regimentation, their superiors, and they carried out all their duties, had their meetings and so on. So these people were being trained to serve. It was totally about serving the German people always. And now, of course, you know, we're told to hate our own people, to only find fault with them, and to tear down everything in our past. And, what we're doing, what they're doing in the United States. And it's all because we're a multicultural nation now. Absolutely. And the blacks don't want to see any statues of white people, and the Hispanics don't want to see the courses that white people are interested in, and they're not. All that's being destroyed because of multiracialism. And so the idea of race, you notice in particularly in the early chapters, they talk about race quite a bit, and the German races and so on. And they use the term race far more liberally than we are able to do now, because they don't even want us to mention the word race now. But there were German different types of Germans were called German, different German races, and all, you know, they used that word for just differences among people, ethnic differences, national differences, and so on. And you had differences of races among the same nationality of people. So there was a lot of variety. Now they just lump everybody together as white or something. And then that's supposed to define us. Well, to me, it doesn't. And you can learn a lot about that in here, and they don't apologize for it.
Ethnicity is central to everything. I mean, this is a problem. I mean, if you've got a multicultural society, how can you teach them a history that includes all of them? Because we didn't have a multicultural society 50 years ago. Wasn't one in Germany. I mean, if you just take it in Britain and they start to sort of teaching the kids about British history, you know, the blacks are going to complain. The Pakistanis are going to complain. They're going to say, well, this isn't my history. So what they will do is either they won't teach it, and they'll start teaching them about Brazil's history or what's going on in China, or they will end up making up a false history and doing a little bit on all the Negroes that were around in I don't know, Liverpool 200 years ago. They'll just make something up. Just because they've got a report of one being there or something, and they'll pretend there was a colony, and the kids end up not knowing who they are. I mean, that book that you've got there, I mean, it seems to go through everything, like population, race, history, geography, but all of it is looked at from the eyes of a German person. This is what a German needs to know about how a German thinks about these things. And the German way to look at it. And that's what's missing today, because they couldn't do that today. They couldn't say, well, this is the British way to look at things. This is British history. This is how the British people came to be who they are. They couldn't possibly teach that because, they say, well, the British people includes Pakistanis, Indians, Chinese, Bangladeshis, mm-hmm. all these others. So all of this part of education is no longer there. I think it was still there when I was at school. But it's not there now.
Right. And that's the reason, because that's what I experienced in my teaching, that they're mostly from Mexico. They were not interested in learning about the Renaissance. You know, I was an art teacher. They weren't interested in learning about European art or anything like that. They only wanted to do whatever they were used to doing, and just think about other classes, history classes, and so on. They resent it. It's not who they are, and they don't come here and make themselves. They might make themselves an American to some degree, but they don't make themselves have your same cultural history or anything. And they want to get rid of it. So they don't even respect it. You know, that's the thing, because they fear it. You know, they see it as not excluding them or making them less. And so they don't want to know about it. And it's just, as you said, this material is presented quite openly for Germans. About Germany, and they don't, you know, there's not, you know, I had a fellow who wrote a comment that he keeps wanting me to tell me I'm not talking about Jews enough in these articles. He doesn't seem to get it that this is not me. This is the handbook. I have edited it quite a bit, but I haven't. I'm not rewriting it. It's not my writing. He thinks it's missing out talking about the Jews. You know, I mean, they weren't talking about the Jews at all in this book, in this handbook. They were talking about Germans, period. And that's what they focused on almost all the time in Germany. You know, to think that Germany at that time was just mainly an anti-Semitic country under Adolf Hitler, and that's what they were pushing all the time, is a wrong view of what was going on in that country. There was only one part of it when they had to deal with it, but
They tried to define them by that today, haven't they? Germany was defined by being against the Jews, and it becomes quite clear from looking at books like the one you've got there, Carolyn, that Germany was defined by being German. And it wasn't defined by being against the Jews. It was defined by all the sum of it, of its history and what its people had created. And they wanted to instill a spirit of pride in their people. And the Jews were a separate issue. And that's why they want to hide books like that, I think, because it shows you the
positive take on them. Yeah, and then, you know, that brings up that they wouldn't even mind the Jews if the Jews weren't interfering with the Germans and it being a German nation, you know? The fact that the Jews began, the small number of Jews there, began taking over. And they were, as we know, you know, in the Weimar period, they were allowed to come in from Eastern Europe and they were allowed to, they had all freedom. And they began taking over very important segments of the German economy and professions and so on. And entertainment and media and so on, you know, they were distorting and they were making life very, very difficult for Germans. So if Jews hadn't done that and didn't always do that, they would be tolerated in other nations. But they can't stop doing that. And that is the reason that they're not. So it's really not the way they portray it at all. And, you know, it's just the whole thing is so cockeyed, and we need more people teaching the truth than we have, because there's so much untruth out there. And this little book does a very good job of it.
It does indeed. If only the Jews had contributed, then it wouldn't be a problem. And it's the same problem everywhere. 109 different countries, the same issue has raised its head. Well, thank you very much for coming on today, Carolyn. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.